Hello, welcome to What Would Dara Watch, a film and podcast, film and pop culture podcast hosted by me, Dara Cosby. Today we have a very special episode, a public service announcement, if you will. I have a very wonderful guest by the name of Dusk Kodesh, who will be discussing with me the cinematic experience that is Morbius. And why, perhaps, you should save your money. All right, welcome, Dusk. Thanks so much for being here.
Welcome to be here.
All right, so to start off, you had seen the cinematic portrayal of Michael Morbius. Now tell me.
Oh, yes.
What would be your dream cast scenario?
Well, I've got to say, Matt Smith carries any semblance that that is actually a movie.
Wow.
And yeah, leave him alone. He was fabulous. He was okay. Chewing the scenery. He was great.
He's delicious. We love Matt Smith. We do.
Oh, yes.
Yes. All right.
Adria, I'm going to say her last name wrong.
Sure.
Adjorna?
Okay, yes. I know her, of who you speak. Yes.
She was just kind of a wooden plank. Jared Leto was a wooden plank, but with CGI makeup on him.
Oh, bless his heart. Bless
his heart. And Tyrese Gibson?
Yes.
Was
yes.
good, but they cut all of the material that he was going to get to have, so we really got nothing from him besides a few short bits of dialogue.
Wow.
He was wasted.
Really? Oh, wow. Now I know Michael Morbius because of you. You are the supreme expert that I know of the source material. So can you tell me a bit of what this story was that the film is portraying here? Is it certain comics in particular, or
what? Well, this comic is a rehashing of his origin story.
Okay.
Michael Morbius is a scientist with a sickness, and this sickness is fatal.
Okay.
And he's in a race from time, or against time, to cure himself before he dies. He's, in the comics, kind of on his last legs. He has very little money left. He just accepted a Nobel Prize. He uses all that money to further his experiments.
Okay.
He has a fiance, every reason to live. And he carries out these experiments, and it goes wrong.
Gotcha. All right.
And he is the epitome of lab accident turns you into something non-human.
Right. Gotcha. Very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Very much so, but with less of a split consciousness. He knows what he's doing, but he can't control himself.
I see. Cool. All right. I like what I'm hearing from the comics. How much of that was in the film that you saw?
Well, the first 25 minutes accurately goes up until the first lab accident.
Okay.
Him changing. Mm-hmm. He does kill a bunch of mercs on the ship.
Okay.
And then it goes kind of crazy from there. And there's spots of craziness even in the first 25 minutes. There's strange scenes where he's trapping bats. He didn't do that in the comics. There's some stuff with a best friend that he doesn't have in the comics.
Oh.
For some reason, his best friend that is actually in the comics, they changed his name and changed his origin around and then put Matt Smith in that character.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And he is a bright spot, mind you.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
He very much is. He's light in the darkness. After this 25 minutes, it gets to the point where the character is almost unrecognizable.
Really? So who would you have cast? I know Mr. Jared is not your favorite across the board, but especially for your man, Michael Morbius, who would you have cast?
I would have gone with Bill Skarsgård.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, he's a fabulous actor. Yeah.
He's used to inhuman, creepy body movements. He has a scary face. He's the right age exactly.
Yeah. Yes. All right. You know who's going to be the new Crow?
Oh yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that.
I'm excited about that, worried about the script, but that's a whole nother episode we can get into. But no, solid choice, solid casting choice there for sure. All right, so okay, it's time. So was that your one positive? Was Matt Smith? Was that it?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Now I'm going to give you the next amount of time that you need to let out your frustrations, be it filmmaking, be it acting choices, be it script, direction. Say what you need to say to the people. What do they need to know about this experience? Should they have said experience? Should they stream it? Should they buy it? Should they avoid it at all costs?
Bless your soul. Run. Run far away from this movie. Do not view this movie. Do not give Sony your money. This is not Venom. This is not camp saved by Tom Hardy. There's nobody that cares in this movie. Besides so maybe Matt Smith, but I think he's just having fun.
Rom-com? All right.
No. There's no chemistry between any of the characters that are supposed to like each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good dialogue, and there's some absolutely cringeworthy pieces of real dialogue. Oh. Morbius at one point actually says, "You won't like me when I'm hungry."
No.
Yes.
Okay.
It's that bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And then the last 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen a movie that ends very poorly in the last 15 minutes, very rushed together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that on steroids?
Oh, no. I did hear that it feels very early 2000s CGI. Would you agree with that? Or what are we feeling about the look of the film?
Visually, I think I get that because with the dark blues, the moody atmosphere, the very overdramatic characters, it feels kind of like an underworld
kind of vibe. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Which, for Underworld, at least the first couple, that was all right. That was okay.
I think you know what you're getting into with Underworld. I'm not going to trash on them.
That's true. That's true. And did that not have origins in another, like, medium, right? Underworld was just its own thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Now, I am curious because this is not the place to start for people who want to get into Morbius. So where should they start? You are the expert. What's a good starting point? Like, as a noob like myself, who is interested in the character, where should I begin my journey while I skip this whole cinematic experience?
Well, you definitely start with his canon first appearances. You start with Amazing Spider-Man number 101 and 102. They've been reprinted a lot. You can get the reprints for very cheap.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, watch for the reprints. Make sure you don't buy those as originals.
Yeah.
Those are good for history. Mm-hmm. I liked his arc in Vampire Tales. I liked him in Marvel Zombies 3 and 4.
Okay.
There's a 2013 series that is passable, and there's a 2019 series that was going good places and was going to have Blade in it, and then COVID kind of killed it.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Now, as a fan of, you know, what they're trying to do with Spider-Man and Marvel and Sony and all of this now, I'm enjoying that ride and this is a spoiler-filled podcast, guys. So if you're coming in
fantastic.
Here thinking you're not getting spoilers, turn away, just like you should the film. Just run, go away and come back later. But were there any interesting use of characters that are already in our, Spidey universe?
The only connection we get is Vulture.
Okay.
In the mid-credit and final credit scene, and it comes out of nowhere and doesn't make sense with the canon of No Way Home.
Interesting. Okay. So from what you're telling me, this really feels like they put this out at the last minute because they knew they had to put it out. And that it did no one any favors. Do you feel like they did their all, like the actors and stuff, with what they were given? Were they decent, or was it just not good decisions being made from jump?
I feel like a lot of what is to blame in this mm-hmm. is directly on director Daniel Espinosa.
Okay.
And the writers.
Right. And there's multiple writers, right?
It's a cauldron of writers. Well, it's two particular guys. They wrote Dracula Untold in the new Power Rangers movie, and they don't have a great track record, and I don't understand.
You know, and I'm a Power Rangers reboot apologist because it's just fun silliness, but Dracula Untold, yikes, stripes! Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah.
Okay, all right. So we weren't coming in with the big guns to begin with.
Oh, no, we were not.
Oh, that's frustrating. Now, we are creative individuals. Do you think we should dive in, write our own thing, and do like a fan film of your favorite character of all time? You think that's maybe worth something to try?
Oh, absolutely. I'm up for anybody. Take any character you love. Throw them into any situation. Make a coffee shop AU, make a high school AU, do anything. It's going to turn out better than this.
See, I like that. We're still leaning on the positive. See, people, it's like, take garbage, make something beautiful, makes it grow and bloom. Because Dusk is a fantastic artist. Definitely one to find and follow online. And I want to see your Morbius creation. I want to see that.
Written a couple of fanfics that are out there.
Oh, hey now. Send me some links. Send me some links. You're holding out on me. Holding out, Dad.
Oh, I wrote things like 12 years ago. I didn't understand how sex scenes work. We're not going into this.
Well, hey, maybe you'll do an updated. You know, an updated version, relook at your old work and revamp, if you will. Ooh, oh, that dad joke was just sitting right there. Revamp.
Pun.
Yeah.
You're going in the red there, Dara. You're going in the red.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to get it out. Well, is there anything else that you would definitely want to share with the people about your famous, most beloved Michael Morbius that people need to go in, because they're not going to learn what they need to learn about Michael with this film. So share with them. Why do you love him so much?
Well, Morbius is really three facets. Mm-hmm. He's addiction.
Okay.
Fear of change and lack of control.
Well, that taps into a lot of people that I know and love in my life. So yeah, I can relate. And
I think that's why I really latched onto him as a 9-year-old, because when you don't have any friends and you don't feel like you're in the right body, mm-hmm. you kind of go with somebody who's kind of in the same position.
Right. So you felt yourself kind of seen in a character. That's really beautiful.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I can definitely empathize with that, because I'm still trying to find that character that I can kind of see myself in, or, you know, I need to write it myself, I guess, is what it's coming down to. But you know,
ooh, you do that, I'll read it.
All right. Hey, you give me fanfic, I'll give you. Oh, well, I'm so glad that you decided to, you know, take your feelings and put them in this podcast with me today. I know, even though I am not going to see this film, I feel
thank
better
you.
That we had this conversation. I am excited about possibly getting people into the character and into the comics, and maybe
I am excited about that.
Yeah, we need to build the character up from all the right work, and then maybe they'll come correct in the next, you know, film adaptation. You know, can only go up from here, right? I'm a glass half full kind of girl.
That would be great. And maybe they'll stop giving Jared Leto work.
Oh, she said it. Oh, I was wondering. Oh,
I didn't call him Jared Peto.
Oh, I'm going to say, you know, my name is Les and I'm staying out of this mess. That's what I'm going to say about that. Feel how you feel though. I have met the man in real life. I was of age and everything went very nicely, but
well, you were of age,
you know, but yeah, no, I appreciate that he is a good actor. I will give him that, whether you like him as a person or not. He's good at what he does. I just think he hasn't found the superhero, anti-hero characters aren't really for him. I think he needs to stick
stay away from comic movies.
Yeah.
After Joker and this, stay away from comic movies.
Yeah, I think he needs to let that go. Yeah. Indie films, you know, even music. You know,
I was never an emo teenager.
Oh, but I was. I was probably an emo 20-something and 30-something. So, you know, he's got my heart a little bit. I get it, him and his brother. But, you know, yeah. And, you know, choices. He's 50 years old. He needs to do some other things. Like, you know, yeah.
Women his own age.
Again. Dusk speaks. I love it. I'm not mad about it. I love it. I'm feeling it. You can Google, decide for yourself. That's all I have to say about that. Because one day I might want somebody on my podcast. I don't burn bridges here, baby. Come on, Jared. We'll have a talk. I'm a licensed counselor. We'll work it out. I'll help you.
That would probably be good for him.
Indeed. For so many, let's be honest, line them up, see what we can do. Give me all the gray hair, I'll take it. So anyway, thank you so much for joining me, Dusk. You're amazing. I can't wait to actually get to hug you in person, hopefully sooner than later. I've known Dusk for a very long time, makes my life better. I had to have them on, so can make your life better too.
So. Always a pleasure. Always
and shield,
a pleasure.
Shield people from the eye hurt, the pain.
Eye, brain, everything below the neck.
Everything, soul even. Yeah. You did good works here. You did, if nothing else, like you did your part.
Oh, good. I've got the eye bleach and droppers waiting.
Do. With their time, you're on out. You've done your part, and we thank you. All right, everybody, enjoy this episode. Hit me up on the socials. I will link Dust's social media on the show notes, and I will catch you on the flip side. Bye.